registration. We all know what it's like to register for things. One of our first experiences is school. The teacher taking the register. We sit there waiting for our names, ready to say, "Here, Miss Sir." It tells the school that we're present, part of the class. It tells that we're there to learn, theoretically. School is only the beginning. Other big moments of our lives can see us completing a register. So perhaps we get married. In the UK, there is a tradition of the newlywed couple signing the register. In fact, so important is that document, that wedding certificate, that it takes a specially appointed registrar to register. Special documents, certain pens, many photos. And then perhaps there is a baby born, and that baby is also registered. A birth certificate is completed. The parent's name, the baby's name. It's an historic moment marking the significance of what has taken place. Someone's been born. So Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor was registered earlier this year in May by Harry and Meghan. Dad filled out his occupation, Prince of the United Kingdom, and Meghan filled out hers, Princess of the United Kingdom. Occupations you don't see every day on a birth certificate. Now, Christmas also began with a registration. In fact, the most important one of all, for Christmas reminds us of an enormous census that was taken 2,000 years ago, right around the birth of Jesus Christ. The events that surrounded his birth there in Bethlehem give historical precision and weight to his arrival here on planet Earth. Luke, one of the authors of the four historical accounts of the life of Jesus, puts it like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria. Luke tells us of a census, an accounting, a numbering of people who lived in the Roman Empire, issued by Octavian Caesar Augustus. He was born in 63 BC and was the great nephew of Julius Caesar. He was a great organizer. Christmas Day would have been a really well-run affair at his house. And for the purpose of organizing taxes, he calls for all of the citizens of the Roman Empire to return to the place where they were born to register. And so Luke tells us Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. There's a family living in a tiny part of the Roman world. A man called Joseph obediently makes the 90-mile journey to his hometown of Bethlehem to register for the census. Bethlehem had a really significant history in the land of Israel. It was the birthplace of Israel's greatest king in history. We all know of famous birthplaces. The city of Rosario, Argentina, the birthplace of Lionel Messi, the brilliant footballer. The city of Nairobi, Kenya, the birthplace of Mathatha Wangari, the first African woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And Bethlehem was the birthplace of David, Israel's greatest king. And from the line of David, a greater king had been promised. Normally, when any ruler from Marvin Rees, our Bristol mayor, to Abdelmadjid Tebboune, the new president of Algeria, is appointed, they naturally have great plans they wish to accomplish. Better transport, care for the poorest in society. But the people of Israel had promises from God of a king who would not just bring lasting justice, peace, and blessing to Israel, but to the whole world. This we can understand. We long for this, a world of peace, of justice for all, blessing to the greatest and to the least. That longing is an indication that we were made for that. We were made to experience it. And we powerfully know when it is absent from our world. The protests, the marches, the campaigns are a hunger and thirst for justice and peace, a deep longing in our souls. And the one who meets this, the ruler who provides it, was born 2,000 years ago in the town of David, the line of David in Bethlehem. That's what we read. He, Joseph, went there to Bethlehem to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Now, this was no ordinary birth. Joseph and Mary were not married. They'd experienced no sexual intimacy. We know this because the historical record tells us that when Joseph was first told that Mary was with child, knowing that the child could not possibly be his, he planned to separate from Mary quietly. But in a dream, the angel of the Lord tells Joseph to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This was no ordinary birth, because Jesus was no ordinary child. For this son was truly man and truly God, born of a woman, born of God, to bring us to God. The reason that justice and peace and blessing seem so hard for us to grasp, so far from us, is because we are so far from the God of justice and peace and blessing. That for all the injustice we might see in the world, we know that injustice lurks in our hearts too. We don't treat others as we treat ourselves. We don't live up to the standards that we ask of others. But for all of our talk of peace, the peace we might see in the world, we know that anger and hate lurks in our hearts too. In our words to those around us, our rage within us, that the greatest storms and fury of life often come from within. But what we saw in the Home of Parliament those last few months was a glimpse into what is often in all our homes, in all our hearts. Now, I don't need advanced degrees in psychology or psychiatry to tell me about the anger that arises from within our hearts. 6-year-old Calvin of the famous Calvin and Hobbes cartoon strip, he can demonstrate that to me. He taught me that. There's little Calvin waiting to catch the school bus. He's grumpy and cross. He says to himself, I don't want to catch the bus. I don't want to be here at all. I'm sick of everyone telling me what to do all the time. I hate my life. I hate everything. I wish I was dead. And then he pauses and thinks to his 6-year-old self, well, no, I don't. Not really. I wish everyone else was dead. Friends, that is because we are far from God, far from His ways, His loving rule. But Christmas is the amazing truth of God drawing near, of God coming down to the earth. Jesus knows our hearts. He sees our wrongdoing, our sin, but loved us so much He came to rescue us, to provide forgiveness with the God we turned away from. And Jesus knows our needs, our pains and struggles. Jesus Christ identified with the needy, the downtrodden, the poor. Did you see how the reading from Luke chapter 2 ended? She, Mary, wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. That's an animal eating trough, because there was no guest room available for them. Jesus knew what it was to be an outcast, to have no place to stay. Jesus knew what it was to lack the most basic needs of life. All this Jesus willingly, lovingly experienced for us, so that we might receive Him and in Him find life in all its blessing and fullness, peace and joy. Oh, long before the birth of Jesus, God promised that Jesus would take up his people's pain, carry their suffering, and experience God's right and holy judgment for our wrongs. This child in a manger will hang on a cross, willingly experiencing the injustice of fake charges, an illegal trial, innocent death. But through the sacrifice of God's Son on that cross, forgiveness would be opened up, justice would be done for wrong, peace with God would be made off possible. The blessing of eternal life for all who will love and follow Jesus would be found. Now, at this time of the year, we're used to making decisions about what we think about people. Over the past 7 weeks, famous faces from the entertainment world were competing for the X Factor celebrity crown. 15 acts battled it out to win a life-changing record contract. In the final were Jenny Ryan, Max and Harvey, Megan McKenna, and V5. The public voted, and Megan McKenna, she won. Or take Strictly, where Calvin Fletcher, Emma Barton, and Zareem Zaruul battled it out to win the dancing crown. Millions voted, and Calvin won the glitter ball trophy. Now, of course, the biggest decision of all this past few months surrounded the general election. Those are the most important times for us to register our vote, our decision. Think about how we go about that. There are many weeks of campaigning by the different political parties. They issue their manifesto, a document that contains all kinds of promises and commitments that they'll fulfill if they're voted into power. The leaders debate, we listen, we weigh up what is said. And then on voting day, everyone over the age of 18 casts a vote. We make a decision on the evidence, on what has been said. And you know, Christmas asks you to do the same. Each Christmas, we are all making a decision about what we're celebrating. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. The reason for this festival asks us, what do I make of it all? How am I responding to it all? Have we read Jesus' manifesto? You can pick up one of these copies. They're freely available all around the room and give it a read. Look at this leader's life. Listen to what he said. Consider what he's done. Come back here each Sunday and listen to more about who Jesus is. I suggest that the claims of Jesus and what he said, that there is no more important investigation that we will do with our lives. As that guy on the video that we saw earlier said, his campaign was compassion. He loves you. His policy to proclaim good news to the poor. He grew up to speak, blessed be the meek, and to wash his disciples' feet. His message, Jesus is the message. His slogan, Savior in a manger. Listen to those first witnesses. Luke will go on to tell us of an angel who says to some shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Hear the shepherds who, on seeing the baby Jesus, spread the good news of joy to all they find. Hear a man called Simeon say of Jesus, he is the light of the nations. A woman called Anna, speaking of the great rescue mission that Jesus came to accomplish. And at Christmas time, we look at the celebrity on the stage, on the dance floor, in the jungle, and we weigh up and decide. We pass judgment. And every year, we do the same with Jesus. We listen to the readings from the Bible. We sing the carols, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with us to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. And we decide whether these words are true, whether they have any real meaning to us, or are actually the Christmas equivalent of Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and three blind mice. This Christmas time, each one of us makes a decision about the birth of Jesus. 3 years ago, almost to the day, I spoke in this room at the funeral of a man called Ted Warren. Ted was a member of this church. He was born in 1918, and he lived under many British prime ministers, 20 in total. And later, in his retirement, he wrote about his life, a little pamphlet, The Experiences of an Ordinary, Hard-Working, Optimistic Bristolian, who spent almost a century on planet Earth. One of the striking things about Ted's account is that he hardly makes any mention of the many governments he lives under. Chamberlain gets a mention in 1938, but not Churchill. I don't think Churchill would have thought much of that. But the government that is mentioned over and over again is Jesus Christ's. Because in 1936, when he was 18 years old, Ted believed that Jesus was who he said he was. That he really did die and rise again, defeating death. And that he opened up the way to eternal life with him. Ted said sorry to Jesus for the things he'd done wrong and trusted that Jesus' death made everything right, paid the price, and he followed Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus gave Ted an identity, a meaning, a freedom, a joy, a peace, a blessing in life that was out of this world. And Ted today is more alive now than he ever was. Now a perfect citizen in God's perfect kingdom, worshiping His perfect King. This Christmas time, let's see the Lord Jesus Christ for who He really is. God's Son, who came to this earth to save from sin, to bring to God all who will trust and follow Him. Let's with the angels sing, glory to the newborn King.